Well, the time of fasting is officially over. You can get back whatever you gave up, right? Tonight we got the opportunity to do all of the preparatory readings leading up to the gospel tonight. And I think sometimes we did it last year, I know, but really the only times I've ever seen that done are these last 2 years. What a privilege that is, I think. Maybe you don't think so, listening to all these readings, but what a privilege that is to be able to ponder the origins of sin and God's great rescue operation to try to snatch us out of the muck, so to speak. You know, it's very interesting that in all of God's material creation, we're the only things that have a soul and a free will and the opportunity to go wayward. We're the only ones in the material creation. And because of that great privilege that God gave to us, he also opened us up to the possibility that we could reject him and reject his plan. And of course we did. One of my seminary professors, Father Schoenstein, brilliant, brilliant linguist, knew like 20 languages, most of them dead, he said. But he was a biblical scholar. People would ask him, you know, like, how long do you think it really took for Adam and Eve to fall? And he would say, oh, probably about 15 minutes. You know, we're interesting little creatures, aren't we? And yet the Lord loves us deeply. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done all of the things that we read about, that we just heard. You know, the Exodus, the passage to the Red Sea, all the plagues against Egypt, all the wisdom that he poured out. We heard about some of that in the reading from Baruch. Raising up a people from Abraham, preparing that people to receive the Messiah. And finally, his death that leads to our redemption. What more does he have to do for us? What more does he have to do for us before we realize how much he wishes us to be with him? How much more? There's really nothing more that he can really do for us. But yet he keeps trying. He keeps trying to get our attention. And I think that, you know, I commend all of you for being here tonight because, you know, on some level, you get it. You get that. Now, every moment of our lives, are we in line with the will of the Lord? No. That's why that little box is back there. But we get it. We get our weakness and we get our need for his power. And he displays that today and tonight in his power over death, in the resurrection. So as we go on through the celebration of this great feast, as we welcome a new person fully into our church, one who has already received the grace of baptism, but will now be confirmed and receive Jesus in the Eucharist for the first time, we welcome you and we are excited for you. And I think it should be a cause for all of us in watching Cheryl receive these sacraments. For we who have received them, maybe as younger people, to recognize the great gift of God's freely given love in his sacramental grace. You know, they seem like little things, simple rituals, but they're not. You know, they're this simple, invisible sign of something that is completely unfathomable and invisible, but nevertheless the greatest thing in the world, that the life of God, that God can make his very life course through us and into us, so that we can navigate these waters in this life, so that we can safely get into the next. Let's thank the Lord tonight as we, again, go on through this solemn the solemn and beautiful celebration of the Lord's resurrection, that even though things happen in life that are mysterious, wrenching, difficult, confusing, that the Lord is with us in the midst of all that, and he triumphs over all of it.